Chapter 11, Sibling Rivalry. Rebecca realized that she was on constant alert for fighting to break out between Jackson and Isabel. It seemed that for the past 4 years since Isabel's birth, Jackson, 7, has punched, shoved, or poked his sister every chance he got, often accompanied by a smirk or laughter. Isabel would scream, Jackson would get yelled at for knowing better, made to apologize, put in time out, and Rebecca was left fearing she was raising a sociopath. The next day it would start again. But after hearing Jackson cry one night that nobody loved him, Rebecca knew something had to change. How is the behavior intended for success? Children do not want to hate each other or fight constantly. It's stressful. It may look as if Jackson enjoys plaguing his sister. His laughter makes Rebecca think so, but he's fighting for his life. Isabel is a threat to him. His physical and verbal attacks, his attempts to gain power, signal powerlessness at its root. He's attempting to even the score to feel in balance with his sister. Let's face it, siblings fight. They learn a lot about relationships through fighting. In a successful relationship, friendship and loyalty accompany sporadic fights. But when occasional punches turn to angry battles with hard slugs and abusive put-downs, an obstacle, in Jackson's case, a belief that he is bad and his sister is good, displaces success. His mother's constant vigilance, punishments, and reprimands tell Jackson that he is not to be trusted, increasing his obstacle. His cry for help, claiming that no one loves him, indicates his need for acceptance. He's trying to tell his mother that he's not cruel and remorseless, rather hurt and jealous. What is the behavior signaling? Rebecca's taken Jackson's attacks at face value, missing the clues that jealousy and resentment are consuming him. Nobody loves me, and how come you never get mad at her, are his fervent attempts to be heard. Jackson's problem has grown over 4 years from jealousy over a new baby to resentment of what he perceives to be preferential treatment. It is his perception that is the root that needs attending. His perception drives his behavior, not reality. Isabel reminds him that she is the favorite every time he sees her. He has no choice but to defend himself. Laughter is one way. Seeing how mad it makes his mother, he clings to this weapon of power. Is acceptance unconditional? Rebecca often doesn't like Jackson. His behavior is unacceptable, but Rebecca equates his behavior with him. She believed her punishments would change his behavior, but all they did was make him feel unloved and no good. Jackson had always been a physical child. As a toddler, he would tackle his mother at the back of her legs, making her knees buckle. He went through a year of biting, causing Rebecca much anxiety. She didn't know that physical aggression can be inborn and doesn't turn violent unless it's mismanaged. Isabel was the adorable, blonde, blue-eyed girl Rebecca always hoped for. From birth, she was the focus of attention. Every time Jackson was rough with her, he was scolded. You're the big brother, you should know better than to hurt her. Even though big brother was only 4, developmentally impulsive and temperamentally physical. He never knew who his mother wanted him to be. All he knew was the threat he felt from his sister, who he was supposed to love. Our expectations set for success or failure. Rebecca was the youngest. She had 2 older brothers who taunted her constantly. She felt unprotected by an uninvolved, depressed mother. Rebecca identified with Isabel from the beginning and was determined to give her the protection she never had. But her determination blinded her to Jackson's needs. Troublemaker is what Jackson sees reflected in his mother's eyes, so he's come to expect it of himself. Feeling protected, Isabel is free to provoke her brother all she wants. Her power is in getting Jackson in trouble by crying. Rebecca assumed that punishing Jackson and protecting Isabel was her job, but she has set Isabel up as the innocent victim to her brother, the bully. Is connection being made? Rebecca hated the dislike she felt toward Jackson and sought counseling. She learned that behind his wall of defense, Jackson had no opportunity to experience remorse and no motivation to change his behavior. She needed to understand Jackson. Being aggressive by nature, Jackson's impulses needed physical release, not just on Isabel. Rebecca got him a punching bag for the playroom. Each time he reacted physically toward Isabel, instead of yelling at him, she put the gloves on his hands and said, "Go hit the punching bag." She had to trust that giving him permission to hit was okay, just not a person. Sometimes she asked Jackson to draw how he felt about Isabel. Hard scribbles of black and red told the story, and ripping up the paper helped with release. Afterwards, Jackson seemed calmer. But sometimes the punching bag just didn't do it, and Rebecca wasn't always able to rechannel his energy. Sometimes she just blew up. In order to connect, Rebecca had to break the bully victim spell she had cast on them and address the roots, not just the behavior. She needed to find confidence in her children's ability to negotiate, compromise, and be kind. She needed to see them as she wanted them to see themselves. What qualities need focus in order to grow? Since she got too mad at Jackson, it was easier to start by empowering Isabel out of her victim role. She focused on Isabel's capability. The next time Isabel complained that Jackson was mean to her, Rebecca tried her new skills. You don't like it when Jackson hurts you. I don't blame you. Can you think of how to tell him? When Isabel insisted she couldn't, Rebecca added, You are good at knowing what you want, Isabel. I bet you'll be really good at telling Jackson to stop. What can you do if he doesn't listen? Isabel flopped to the floor and whined, I can't, you have to. But Rebecca stuck with it, and after many ups and downs, Isabel slowly took up her arguments with Jackson. Rebecca helped, but stopped doing it for her. Kindness was what she wanted to grow in Jackson, so Rebecca put attention on how he dealt with their dog. See how Finley seems to smile when you rub his belly so softly? Dogs love kindness, don't they? And whenever he did something she asked, she thanked him for being kind. One day she overheard Jackson saying thanks to Isabel when he asked her to hand him the purple crayon. Rebecca knew it would take time for Jackson to see himself as kind, but he did seem more relaxed. How can the problem be solved without punishment? Rebecca worked hard to learn connective communication, detailed in Chapter 5, so she could support each of their strengths and stop playing favorites. But all they wanted to do was tell her why the other one should get in trouble. She first had to learn their game before she could step out of it. The Triangle Game. Whenever parents accept the job of fixing sibling problems, they get sucked into the triangle game. The parent and both children form a triangle, and children typically direct their complaints to the parent. What needs to happen is that the parent needs to deflect the complaints back to the children so the children can communicate complaints to each other. When the children's accusations were directed to her, Rebecca thought she had to solve the problem. They each wanted her to rule in their favor and fought hard to make that happen. Jackson hit me. She started it. All of it went to Rebecca. Like a coach who tosses the ball back into the game, Rebecca had to break the triangle by tossing the ball back to them, encouraging them to tell each other what their problem was. Tossing the ball back meant that Rebecca would no longer play judge and jury, but merely sounding board. So, to Jackson pushed me, Rebecca would respond empathically, I bet you didn't like that. You need to tell him, not me. And to, she asked for it, she's such a jerk, Rebecca would reply, Tell Isabel why you think she asked for it. She needs to hear that. Eventually, they learned that their mother listened but wasn't going to help. Conflict resolution. Breaking free of the triangle game set Rebecca up for resolving the conflict. Assuring them that no one was going to get in trouble or lose, she brought them together so they could tell each other their gripes. She stopped any interrupting, reminding them they would each get their turn to tell their side. After they'd gotten everything out, she asked what they wanted to do about it. Rebecca empathized with or validated each and then encouraged and facilitated their communication. You sound really angry about Isabel going in your room. What do you want to say to her? And then, Isabel, can you agree to what Jackson has asked for? So, Isabel agrees to stay out of your room but still wants to play with your things. What do you think about that? Jackson sounds pretty mad about you messing up his game, Isabel. What do you think he needs to hear from you? So, how do you both want to handle this problem so it won't happen again? Rebecca became a neutral guide, gently leading them to find their own solutions. If they weren't cooperative or couldn't agree, Rebecca would table it and come back to it later until they all agreed on how the problem would get resolved. After a particularly difficult problem, they wrote a contract similar to the example you saw in Chapter 7 about what was acceptable between them and what was not. One day, Rebecca reached her goal. She overheard Jackson say, "Be quiet, Isabel, so Mommy doesn't come in and make us talk about it." The steps of conflict resolution. 1. Parent is coach, not judge. Be objective, detached, and neutral. Do not direct, criticize, or blame. This is your children's problem, not yours. 2. Remind children that no one will get in trouble, no one will lose. 3. Tell them to tell each other their complaints, not you. 4. Give them each uninterrupted turns to tell their side of the story. 5. Facilitate the problem solving with questions or empathizing comments. 6. Offer suggestions but do not control the outcome. 7. Make lists of all suggestions, no matter how trite or unacceptable. Check off ones you cannot all agree on. You always have veto power. 8. All must agree on the final solution. 9. Write a contract if necessary. The no-blame solution. After learning the no-blame solution, Rebecca understood that when blame is involved, something or someone else is always responsible. Defense is the only option when anyone feels accused. It took a huge leap of faith, but Rebecca had nothing to lose. After Jackson returned from school one day, Isabel wanted him to play penguins. He was telling her what a jerky game that was when Rebecca called for someone to let the dog out. Isabel shrieked, "I will!" and Jackson yelled, "You always do it!" Isabel ran to open the door, but Jackson blocked it, shoving her out of the way. Isabel fell backward, hit her head on the floor, and screamed. Rebecca came running. She stopped herself from yelling at Jackson while comforting Isabel. Jackson ran out the door with the dog, anticipating his mother's blame. Rebecca noticed how much Isabel wanted Jackson to get in trouble. "Jackson knocked me down when I tried to open the door for Finley. He's so mean!" She continued to comfort Isabel until the crying subsided, not mentioning Jackson's name. It was hard, but the lesson was fresh in her mind. She was aware that Jackson was lurking around the porch. "Jackson," she called, "would you like to get the ice pack from the freezer to hold on Isabel's head?" He didn't answer, but hung around while Rebecca got it. She wanted to scream at him, but she had learned that he would eventually want to make amends when he trusted he wouldn't be blamed or punished. She had her doubts. After dinner, while Isabel was in the tub, Rebecca tried the next step. She connected with Jackson. "You must have felt pretty angry at Isabel this afternoon. It's got to be hard when she wants her way," he replied. "She always gets what she wants." Instead of saying, "No, she doesn't," and trying to teach him a lesson, she acknowledged how unfair that must feel. Note, empathizing does not say that Isabel does get what she wants. Jackson was quiet. "I wonder if there was another way you could have let Finley out," she offered without a question. "She wouldn't let me." Bravely, Rebecca asked, "Do you think you're always going to let her get her way?" Surprised by his mother's question, Jackson said, "Well, I could put my foot down, block the door, and tell her I'm doing it this time." Rebecca was astonished. Jackson felt heard. The next time Rebecca suggested the ice pack, Jackson got it. No blame had been issued. He could experience remorse without shame. The fighting by no means stopped, but they were on their way. Are strong boundaries keeping good balance? Sibling fights are the sibling's problem. In order to help her children, Rebecca had to let go of trying to fix their problems and taking responsibility for what was theirs. She recognized that the more she tried to solve their fights, the more critical and controlling she became. Then, the more punitive she had to be, and the more the children became dependent on her to end their battles. The hardest part was letting go of how things would turn out. She had to trust. Once she began to let go of controlling their problems, she could help each one be the person they needed to be, strong and confident. No blame, no defenses, no retaliation was the end result.